Thank you very much, Pastor Wes. I'm delighted to be here tonight. First time I've ever walked into church and had the pastor offer me some bugs to eat. And after my wife and I had some and the service started, my wife leaned over and said, "Honey, I've got a toenail stuck in my throat. I'll have to go and get a glass of water." When Pastor Les called me a few weeks ago to come and share with you tonight, he gave me my topic. He said, "We'd like you to speak on warfare." Well, no, I've never spoken on warfare in my life. And so I know I hesitated. And then I began to think about what I had been studying over the past few months in my own life and realized that it fit right in where I feel I am really observing what's happening in the world and in the church today. So I very quickly said, yes, I would be happy to come and share tonight about warfare. It's nothing new to any of us. Warfare is something that, you could tell Pastor West that you do have a... Oh, it went widescreen. Okay. You've got mechanics that I don't have. That's good. Okay. Warfare is something that's been with God a long, long time. Not something new. It's a warfare, something that you and I have experienced in our lifetime, and we're going to experience more of it, and I want to speak to you about that tonight. The Bible promises that God, through Jesus Christ, as we all know, will lead us through warfare, and that we don't have anything to worry about except that we have to fight, that we have to do that. Pastor Les also told me this was the beginning of a study here on Sunday nights, and that you're going to be going into this in Ephesians chapter 6, but he said, don't preach about Ephesians chapter 6. He said, just preach about warfare. So I've been very well instructed what I'm to do and what I'm not to do. So let me read a little verse to you. A final word. I'm just starting, although I said I'm reading a final word, okay? Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so you'll be able to stand firm against the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. So that's what our warfare is all about. And then it says, therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. I want to just stay a little bit for a moment on the time of evil. I read that about putting on the armor in the time of evil, and as I did it, I began to do a little study and realized that this is just evil with us all the time. Then I became very interested and went back to, as you can now on the computer, and looked in this scripture on many translations. And whether I'm right or I'm wrong, I guess I'm old enough that I don't really care anymore. All right? And I've come to the conclusion that this is referring to, especially in the time of evil. And that's the time that you and I are in today. It's not normal. It's not business as usual for the Church of Jesus Christ. We're moving into very, very interesting days. Well, I want to talk about war tonight in three different tenses. First of all, I want to talk about them in the past tense, present tense, and future tense. In the past tense, it all started in heaven. War started in heaven. And in the present tense, you and I have experienced all kinds of war. Again, Lester said to me, "Keith, I'm sure you can speak on warfare. You've had lots of it in your lifetime." Well, those of who want to follow the Lord and do God's will always have warfare come at you. Have you ever experienced when you really want to do something for God, you get hit on every side? How many have ever experienced that? just settle back and say, I'm not going to bother serving the Lord very well. I'm just going to do a little bit for him and get out of the warfare. But as we take and really give ourselves to him, yeah, we will really have all kinds of warfare. Well, I want to talk a little bit in the past, a little bit in the present, but I really want to labor tonight on the future. So let's go back to where war started in heaven. Nehemiah 8:6 says, you alone, O Lord, you made the skies and the heavens and all the stars. You made the earth and the seas according and everything in them. You preserve them all, and the angels of heaven worship you. It's a wonderful thing to think that's how God started, okay? And then it says in Colossians 1:15, that Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything. How good to know that that's the God that we serve. That's the God that we have come to understand and to know. Okay? Well, then we move into a little bit more about the warfare. And we go to the next slide and we realize that when war started in heaven, it was really started with Lucifer, son of the morning. And I read these words. I ordained and anointed you as the mighty angelic guardian. You had access to the holy mountain of God and walked amongst the stones of fire. You were blameless in all you did from the day you were created until the day evil was found in you. Evil started in a very good angel. Let me say it again. Evil started in a very good angel, created by God to worship him and to serve him, to be a servant of the Lord. However, he fell. Let's look at the next verse. How you are fallen from heaven, O shining star, son of the morning. You've been thrown down to the earth, you who destroyed the nations of the world. For you said to yourself, I will ascend to heaven and set my throne above God's stars. I will preside upon the mountain of the gods, far away in the north. I will climb to the highest heavens and be like the Most High. Instead, you'll be brought down to the place of the dead, down to its lowest depths. And so that's the beginning of war. That's where it all started, in the eternities. And then, of course, we know that back in time, and we have no idea when that happened, except that we know that Lucifer, who was God's highest creation, went against him and caused war and took a third of the angels with him out of heaven, thrown many of them onto earth and into things we're going to talk about tonight. Well, I'm going over old stuff for a moment, but I want you to look at the next slide. And we see that war then came to heaven. This is a picture, the best one I could get, of Adam and Eve in the garden. Okay? And Satan clothed himself in the skin of a snake. And when Adam and Eve sinned, what really happened was war entered into the heart of all humanity. Think of it. They were made perfect in the likeness of God, and when they sinned, war entered into their heart. By that, I mean there was a division inside them that was not with them, and they are created. And you and I still have that division inside all of us. When we're honest, we have to admit, someone says to you, how are you doing? And you say, fine. That's the first lie today. Because if I asked you, how are you really doing? Then you begin to share with me the struggles and the trials that you're having, the warfare that's a part of your life. And so that's where war began inside us in the Garden of Eden. Well, we move to the next slide and we see that Cain and Abel came along, and it's amazing to see that the very first child that was ever born became a murderer. Why is it? Because war was already inside him and he couldn't fight it. He couldn't handle it. And he couldn't handle his brother being a good brother, okay? I know what it's like to have family warfare. I come from a very good Christian family. I was born in a PAOC church. I used to say I was born with a Pentecostal spoon in my mouth. And the back of the spoon said PAOC. You know, and my brother was 10 years older than I, and we never did see eye to eye. We never really fought much. It was always a little bit of family warfare in there that just sort of kept us separate a little bit. Anybody identify with that and understand that? You wish your family was perfect, but it isn't always that way. It's because we're all born with a little bit of warfare inside us. Well, we follow this down to the next slide, and we see the war lasted in the Old Testament 4,000 years. You could really call the Bible the Book of Wars, if you looked at it that way. War after war after war, always good chasing evil, and evil chasing good. It's been a part of everything that we are part of. Well, finally then, we come to what happened to the person of Jesus Christ. The next slide, okay? Jesus died upon the cross, and he said these words, "It is finished." Something interesting about that. We all know he said that, don't we? Do you have any idea who wrote those words in the Bible? Was it in Matthew, or Mark, or Luke, or John? Now, somebody who really knows their word will know the answer to my question. Let me tell you the answer, because I'm not trying to trick you. That word, "it is," those words, "it is finished," is only recorded by the Apostle John. I've often wondered why, and I think it's because he's the only one who was really there and heard. All the rest of them had disappeared. Why'd they leave? Because there was so much warfare in their own hearts. Even though they'd been with Jesus Christ for 3.5 years and having wonderful times, seeing the sick healed and eyes opened and all the wonderful things that happened, but when push came to shove, they weren't ready to handle it. Only John was there. And only John records that when Jesus Christ was on the cross, he uttered these words, "It is finished." What was finished? What did he mean by that? He meant that the war that's inside the heart of every human being was over. Think of it. It is finished. Their warfare, those who come to him, the war was finished. That's the first thing. And the second thing is, he knew that he had now created a place for a new temple of the Holy Spirit to abide on earth. And you and I now, because of Jesus Christ on the cross and everything that happened and all the theology that we understand and live for as Pentecostals today, know that we are temples of the Holy Spirit. This is going to be so important to us for the war in the future, for what's ahead of us. So let me move on then. I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's come back then to the present, okay? The next slide says it's the present. Let me read these words. No, I can't. Our internal war, okay? What happens now as we're ahead of ourselves now? Can you read that? Not very large. I was told not to do that. But anyway, here we go. I know you can't read it, so I'm going to have to read that for you. Let me come to where I think we are today. I've been, as I say, POC all my life. We've seen what's happened to the church in the days in which we live. But what's ahead of us? Are we going to just continue as we are? There are so many things that are coming into the world today that are different. And I really wonder, folks, if the Church of Jesus Christ is ready for it. Are you ready? Am I ready for the warfare that's coming ahead of us? So there's three things on this slide that I want to talk about. Number one is the Lord's army. When I started in the ministry, of course, I'm very excited. Called of God, living in Ontario, coming to Bible school, finding the best woman in the whole country to marry at Bible school, and getting married here in British Columbia, and then Nita and I travel off together, and the first call I have in my life is to reach the youth of Canada. How many young men feel called to youth? And so I gave myself to it. In those years, I was preaching across this country about the army of the Lord from Joel chapter 2. I saw something in Joel chapter 2 that I'd never seen before. I'd never been taught it in Bible school. I remember going to my wife's uncle who taught in the church and mission, a Bible teacher, layman in the church and mission, and asked him one day, I said, Uncle Frank, I said, I'd like to read this to you. I'm interpreting it a certain way, and I didn't learn this in Bible school. Do you think that could really be it? Well, he couldn't answer me. All he could say, well, is Keith, if the Lord is speaking to you about it, then go for it. Well, I did. I preached it all across the country at youth conventions and camps and youth services and so on in those years. And I had a preacher come to me this past summer and said, Keith, do you still believe what you preached all those years, way, way back when you were a young man? I said, yes, I do. And the more I come in to see where we are today, the more I believe that we are really the army of the Lord. So I read, the Lord is at the head of the column. He leads them with a shout. This is his mighty army, and they follow his orders. The day of the Lord is an awesome, terrible thing. Who can possibly survive? So as I look ahead to the days that are coming, I really see that we have to again arm ourselves and become an army of the Lord and be ready for what's coming against us. The second thing that I want to talk about is becoming a living witness. Yeah, I did write books and I did encourage people and I did teach people to witness and took the teams out and took them door to door and told them how to win souls and worked at it all my life. I am to the point now that where the Church of Jesus Christ is, we have no choice. We're going to have to become living witnesses. When Saul was first called into the ministry, Ananias was asked by the Lord to go and speak to him. And here's the words he said to Saul. You are to be his witness, telling everyone what you've seen and heard. And Saul lived that, and Saul did that. And I believe, and I'm getting there very quickly, that you'll see why I believe the church, again, has to be more than a group of people who congregate and come together to hold services. We've got to be a part of the army. Every local church has to become a part of the army where they live, and we have to become living witnesses in the community if we're going to really accomplish God's divine plan for us. Now, we come to the third part here, and I've really coined this as what I think has to happen. I believe that God is looking for people who will become faithful followers of him. It doesn't matter whether you're a pastor or whether you're an apostle or a prophet or whatever you are in the kingdom of God. As we move along, things are going to change so much that all that really will matter is, are you a faithful follower of Jesus Christ? Because things are going to come against us so much. I was so glad that we sang about that tonight. Somebody must have prayed about those songs. We sang about the faithfulness of God, and we talked about our faithfulness, and even the pastor prayed about it. I said, that's a little bit of a witness, Lord, for tonight. Okay? So I see faithful followers of Jesus Christ as the key to what the whole church is going to have to be in the days that lie ahead. Paul says, I'm writing to God's holy people in Ephesus who are faithful followers of Christ Jesus. So when the rough times really come, when the warfare really comes, the only thing that God's really requiring of you and me is to become a living witness and a faithful follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I put it down as precise as I possibly can. So let's skip the next slide and put through it and go to the next one. Okay. How are we going to accomplish that? Something's wrong with that slide. Go to the next one. It's changing. Okay. Go to the next one. Did I get there? Yeah. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. I'm really not here tonight to preach at the saints. That's the pastor's job, okay? But I am here to encourage you to make sure that as a faithful follower of Jesus Christ, you're not carnally minded. That's the warfare we all have. And we're also bombarded with what we see on television and the music that we listen to and the lifestyle that we have and all the good things that seem to be so good that we're all enjoying and the prosperity that we have. But let's be careful that we're not carnally minded. Let's be careful. We let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, because that's the start of it. Everything really starts with your thinking. So let this start in your mind. Let you determine in your mind, I am going to be a faithful follower of Jesus Christ, no matter what happens. If family members don't, I still am. If the churches around me don't, I still am. I am determined. No matter what comes against me, I am going to become a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. Okay? Go to the next one. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. This is the war on the inside. The old man, the new man. And the old man doesn't mean he's over 70 years of age. Okay? The old man, the old you, the sinful you, is always at war inside you. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who are under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. But you are not controlled by a sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit. I want you to personalize that tonight and whisper to yourself these words. I am controlled by the Spirit. Say it. I am controlled by the Spirit. Say it again. I am controlled by the Spirit. When the warfare really comes, friends, down the road, okay, only those who are controlled by the Spirit of God are going to be able to make it in the days that are ahead. The wars of the past will never compare to the wars of the future. Could I put it in the vernacular? You ain't seen nothing yet. You might, if I asked you how you're doing, you say fine, and then you finally get honest and tell me the troubles you've had. They're nothing compared to what the church is going to face ahead of us in the day ahead of us. We're now living in the end times, the last days. Every believer living now and the coming of Christ must be prepared for war like we've never had it before. There are two things about the warfare that's ahead that I want to share with you tonight. Number one is the political war, and number two is the religious war that's ahead of us. Turn to Matthew 24, next slide. Jesus was asked about the end time by his disciples, and he said these words, "You will hear of wars and threats of wars, but don't panic." You stop there. I love that word, don't panic. I don't know if Jesus said it that way or not, but the New Living Translation puts it that way. When you hear about all these troubles coming, don't panic. Yes, those things must take place, but the end won't follow immediately. Nation's going to go against nation. Kingdom's going to go against kingdom. There's going to be famines and earthquakes in many parts of the world. But this is only the first of the birth pains with more to come. What do I see here? His disciples are asking him about the days that you and I live. And he gives them three major things that are going to be earmarks of what's going to happen. The first is war. The second is famine. And the third is earthquake. Well, we're seeing all those things begin to happen. But we're going to see more and more of them as time moves on. I don't have time to take and talk about all the stuff tonight that I'm even studying and looking at and searching. The reason I'm doing it is I want, in my old life, okay, I shouldn't even use the word old. In the evening years of my life, I'm saying to me, God, what do you really want me to do? here I am in my 80th year, and I could just, I'm living over with my wife here in Sharon Village, and I could sit around with the old folks and drink coffee and watch too much TV and, you know, not eat too well because we're getting too old. Do you understand me? Or I could say, Lord, what can I really do? And what are the days ahead going to be like? And if I had a calling in my life, it would be consistent with the calling I had as a young man. But I believe the next move of God, the next revival I see, has to be led by the young adults of today's church across our nation. God somehow has to get hold of these. The most of us here tonight are a little older than 40. Not all of us, thank God, but most of us. Somehow God has to get a hold, folks, of the young church and by his spirit within them, and they've got to take the challenge and head for the warfare, because they're going to have more of it than you and I ever even thought of. Go to the next slide. Here's what Jesus says is going to happen. You're going to be arrested and persecuted and killed. You're going to be hated all over the world because you're my followers. Now, when I went to Bible school, they said, oh, Keith, don't worry about that. That's the Jews. Let me talk about what I was taught in Bible school. And then we went through this whole thing about the future, and I even had a little bit of warfare with others about what was I believed about the future. Now, I don't know where this church is. I know where our fellowship is. We were brought up very much pre-tribulation. That means when the war comes, we're gone. Hallelujah. We're not here. I'll be honest. I could never preach it. I tried twice. In 50 years of preaching, I tried twice. I couldn't preach it. Because I saw things in Scripture that I thought we were going to really entering in the last days and we're going to be a part of it. Well, I began to study it. A little bit later, I studied over the years, and I became what they call pre-wrath. Won't be here for the wrath of God, but we'll be here at the beginning of it all, the beginning of sorrows. We're going to be here for it. Not going to be a fun time. We're going to be here. Then I began to study, and somebody else came along with the idea of post-trib. I thought, those people are crazy. I'll never believe that. That means we're going to go through it all right to the very end. I'll tell you the conclusion I've come to. And over the past 3 months, I've studied it very thoroughly. My wife can tell you. I'm in my study going through that. What are you studying? No, about the coming of the Lord. Do you want to know what I believe when he's coming? I have no idea. I don't know for sure. I came to a conclusion about 3 weeks ago, and I thought, if I go into that church, and I'll have to go and talk Pastor West, where I believe, because I'm going to be talking to his people about what I think might be post-trib. Okay. Then I turned on a TV program and I started to listen to a tape or whatever it was on pre-trib. And he fought the old thing that we've thought for years. And I thought, well, maybe he's right. So I became not confused. I came to the point that I don't really know when he's coming. I know this, the Bible says you don't know the day or the hour, so I'm quite settled that I don't know and I feel good about it. But this I believe with all my heart. Between now and the time Jesus does come to take us home, we're going to be into the midst of great warfare. Okay? That's what I believe is going to happen. Well, at the bottom of that slide, you still see the people that are being arrested and the problems that they're having, okay? And you're going to be, he said, you will be hated all over the world because you are my followers. What am I asking you to be in the last days? Faithful followers. Say it again. Faithful followers. Say it again. Faithful followers. Just be that, folks. Just be that as we press into the days that are ahead. Next slide. It says, however many will turn away from me, Jesus said, and betray me and hate each other. Many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Sin will be rampant everywhere. Don't we have a little bit of that today? And the love of many will grow cold, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. You'll notice that this one's upside down. No? Come on. Go to the next one. Go to the next one. Next slide. No. Go to the back one. Do you know what? That turned it upside down. Go back a slide. Can you go back one? Yeah. It didn't do what I wanted it to do. It corrected it. On purpose, I turned it upside down, and somehow your machine turned it upside right. I could preach on that for a while. But many are not going to make it, friends. Only those who are faithful followers of Jesus Christ are going to make it to the end. So I turn to the next slide. Are you really ready for war? Are you personally ready for war? Forget about the church. Forget about anybody else. Are you really ready for war? There's two things about it. Am I totally committed to the person of Jesus Christ? That's the question I have to ask myself. Am I really totally committed to him? More than the church. Forgive me, not that we're not loyal to the church. But as we go through this, the days could well become that the church won't be here. Very seriously, it could happen. Okay? We're in those days. You watch the news and you see things happen. You study it. Everybody said that's crazy. Isn't that right? And there, but what? Where are we really? All I'm asking is that, number one, you'll be totally committed to Jesus Christ. And number two, you will keep led by the Holy Spirit. Obey the Holy Spirit. Follow Jesus, obey the Holy Spirit. That's the whole thing. Because you won't be able to do it with your own reasoning. You won't be able to think it through. You won't be able to reason how you're going to live in the days ahead. Well, let's go to the next slide. It's rather an interesting one. There's going to be two kinds of warfare. Political warfare that I didn't come here to preach about tonight. Because you can watch that on TV all day long and all night long. And I don't know if he's trying to kiss the country of China there or not, but I thought that just spoke of war. Okay, let's go to the next line. There are two future enemies that we're going to have. Number one is the new religious order under the false prophet. And number two is the new world order under the Antichrist. So I'm just going to barely touch on that tonight before I close, because these are the wars that are ahead of us. Our big concern is not the political war. Our big concern is the religious war. Okay? Turn the page. Turn the slide. I don't know how much you know about, how much you followed about it, but there's a thing called the World Alliance of Religion in the world. It started in the year about 2013-14. It's about 9-10 years old now. It started with 300 people. It's the beginning of a new religious world order. It's brought people together from all over the world. Go to the next slide. Okay? Here's a picture of people from all different religions. Again, on the next slide. Is that... No. One skipped. Okay. That'll do. It's called World Alliance of Religion for Peace. It's called WARP. I don't know if they realize how warped they really are, but those are the words they have. And it really is serious, my friends. They are gathering now from all over the world. This is a picture of their gathering in Korea, in Malaysia, rather, in 2014. The next slide is a picture of them in Korea. Okay? More than 60,000 people from 172 countries. Now, it started with 300 people in 2013 or 14. It's now 57 million people worldwide, and it's all religions, all churches. I never thought I'd preach this way. I always thought I can't do that. I don't know if it's true. But the guy that's leading it is the Pope. Okay? And he has just recently made real friends and got really close with the head imam of the Sunni side, which is the large side of Islam. They've met together. I've watched the pictures of them holding hands and in recent months and walking together and making great claims of coming together. Okay, and so what's happening? And I have no time tonight to go into detail. Is that he's succeeding? Islam and the Catholic Church are coming together in unity, together. All the religions are all coming together. Is it going to affect us? I thought it can't affect us. It can't affect us. But I tell you, it is, friends. I don't know if you know it or not, but I just discovered this week that many of the charismatics are joining the Catholic Church. I don't know if I'm allowed to preach this here or not, but I'm going to say it anyway, okay? Can you believe who's heading it up? Can you believe who's heading it up? Kenneth Copeland is heading it up. I saw a picture of him encouraging the charismatic leaders in the States to come together and to join the Pope. I saw a video of him going and holding the Pope and hugging the Pope, okay? And I thought, I've never preached against anything ever in my life that's a little bit different than what we are. You know, I've just said, I'll just keep doing what I believe God's calling to me, let them do what God's calling them to do, but I'm coming to this conclusion that anybody can be deceived. And I'm encouraging us, and I'd encourage us as a fellowship and as a church to make sure that we don't let anything fool us from simply being followers of Jesus. Because this world, this unity of religions around the world is going to happen under the leadership of the Pope. I shouldn't say that. Under the leadership of this world government, it may be the Pope or some other leader that rises to it, but it's going to be the false Christ. It's going to be the false religion. It's the war that's ahead of us. And it's huge. And it's growing daily. So here are you and me as followers of Jesus Christ saying, where do we fit? And I ask you to one more slide. And with this, I'll close. No, the next one. Next one. Yeah. Did that? Oh, it didn't work. That's all right. See, you're using Apple and I use IBM or whatever it is, and didn't quite work, but that's okay. I want you to look at the very center of this, because there are four battlefields that you and I are going to have to fight on. Number one is your personal battlefield. You yourself are going to have to throw off your old sinful nature. You're going to let the Spirit of God renew your thoughts and your attitudes, and you're going to make sure that you, number one, are ready for whatever battle God brings to you regardless. That's number one for all of us. Number two, then, is the word ecclesia there. That's the church, okay? That the church of Jesus Christ will, as we know it, will stay together. We may be small, but we must be firm, because it's going to be a battle for us to be who we really believe we should be together, and if each of us individually are following God's Holy Spirit, then we'll be able to chart our course through the days ahead. The third battlefield is the battle in the world today. It's the obvious. It's Satan in the world, and all the worldliness that's taking around us is out there, but we must be ready to fight that. And the last one, then, is the battle of the air. And that's where Satan abides. And so many things that are happening are the work of Satan, the work of demons. It's becoming very obvious all around the world. And we can say, well, it's in the air, but my friends, it is very real. Satan's is very, very real. And so those four levels are our places of battlefield. And I will quit on this. One more slide. The slide is that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you don't need to worry about it. Because we're going to win. In the end, we're going to win. There may be many battles to fight between now and then. And I know that as an old guy, 80 years of age, I hope that I have the courage to fight through to the bitter end, no matter what it is, until Jesus comes, whenever the Father wants to send him, and you and I are ready to go to him. You say amen? Amen. Thank you, Pastor. God bless you.